All right, we're continuing our series in Proverbs, Words of Wisdom, and we're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 3 this afternoon. So if your Bibles turn to Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to look at a couple of verses that are very familiar to us, but are so impactful. And as you look there, let me tell you this. Confidence can be a powerful thing. I think you would agree with me on that. It can be a very powerful thing. It can give you the courage to take good steps. But also, if you're not careful, it can put you at great risk because we do this thing, we tend to sometimes be overconfident or we misplace our confidence also. The issue is not confidence itself, it's what you choose to place your confidence in. We can be certain of this, but you can never go wrong in placing your confidence in Jesus Christ, in the Lord. But too often, instead of trusting Him, we trust ourselves, or we trust in things that are far less dependable than God is. But when we trust in the Lord, we don't have to be anxious, we don't have to fear anything, because He never leads us amiss. He never fails. And so I can tell you this. You can trust God completely. You can trust Him completely. And truly, to trust God at all is to trust Him in all. Trusting the Lord doesn't mean that life all of a sudden is going to be easier. That's just not how things work. But, you know, and we think that sometimes, we'll think, well, if I trust God, He's over all, therefore everything's going to be fine now. Everything's going to be good. Everything's going to be all peachy. But that's not how this works. That's not how God works. Yet because we trust the Lord, and because He is over all, we can then rest assured in this, that when we trust Him, we will never be left disappointed. And so as we look to this week's proverb in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, we're going to uncover that it is absolutely worth it to trust the Lord fully as He calls us to. If you have your Bibles open, you look at Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Here's what God's word says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. We're looking at four things here this afternoon through the message, and it's this: when my trust is fully in the Lord, I first of all give Him my whole heart. I give Him my whole heart, even when I don't want to. I know some of you probably wish I didn't say that part right there, but it's really true. Even when I don't want to, I give Him my whole heart. You know, there's a lot of cliche phrases that we use just in the world and, you know, in society. You know, some of them are better late than never, right? We've all said that. We've said that to other people that are not on time sometimes, you know, when we're trying to break for 11 minutes and it goes longer than that. Hey, better late than never, right? We say things like, don't judge a book by its cover. We say things like, everything happens for a reason. Those are cliche phrases. We hear them all the time. We've said them. But even as Christians, we have our own set of cliche phrases that we use too. Did you know that? I'll give you a couple of them. Love the sinner, hate the sin. We say that a lot. We also say the church is a hospital for the sick. Oh, we say, God works in mysterious ways. And then probably one of the most common of them all, I heard this just recently from someone else I was in a conversation with, and they said this, let go, and finish it for me, and let God. Let go and let God. Now we say this one most often because we're trying to point to the fact that our natural inclination as people is to attempt to keep things in our hands. And we want to control. We don't want to let go. We struggle to give everything over to God, which is really foolish. We know that we should trust God and trust Him completely, but we struggle in this. But can I tell you this? Trusting God cannot only be in part. We are to give all of us to Jesus, including what we see here in Proverbs 3, including our hearts. Now, when it's talking about giving our hearts to God, trusting the Lord with all of our heart, it's not talking about that flesh-made heart that we have. It's not talking about the heart that, you know, pumps blood and keeps us physically alive. It's not referring to that. It's referring to our inner being. And so that includes our thoughts, it includes our desires, it includes our affections, it includes our will. The surrender of our hearts, though, first begins at salvation. Confessing and repenting of our sin, believing in Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross for our salvation, and believing in his ultimate victory, seeing it through his resurrection. But full surrender, if you will, following that moment of salvation, it continues every day, even to this very moment. We know this, we are being renewed in Christ and being renewed, yet still the fact is that the disposition of our hearts still remains sinfully rebellious against God as we are being sanctified. This is why Paul said in Romans 12, he said, by warning believers that they should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our mind. And we do this because our hearts are desperately sick. This is why God wants our whole heart. Our hearts are desperately sick. They are still inclined to pull us into the way of corruption rather than turning us to God and his way of righteousness. And so because our so desperately sick, we don't always want to surrender, do we, to the Lord? We don't always want to give of ourselves to God. We don't want to give our very lives over to the Lord. That's why we don't always want to put him first, why we don't want to devote ourselves to him. We most often want to live for us. And that's even though we may truly know God and love God. There's a war that's waging within us. And it's important for us to recognize that that's happening, that that's taking place in our hearts. And so that helps us fight against it when we recognize what is happening in us. Instead of letting it completely demoralize us. It can be demoralizing when you just point at the sin and the sin and the sin. And then we start believing those lies, don't we? The lies that say, I'm never going to get it right. The lies that say, I'm never going to be free from this struggle. The lies that say, I'm never going to fulfill all that God wants for me. We bring ourselves then to say, well, what's the point then? But 2 Corinthians 4:16 reminds us, says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And in eternity, we will have a new heart. But until then, we give our hearts to the Lord also day by day. So the gospel reminds us that our hope is not what in what we're able to do. Because left to ourselves, we just sin. Left to ourselves, we're selfish. Left to ourselves, we live for us and we don't live for God. It's not about what we're able to do for ourselves, but in what Christ has already done for us. Yes, the battle is real. The battle that is taking place as we speak in our hearts is real. But God's grace is greater. He saves those who he calls, and he faithfully transforms them as we move forward in this life. We can take courage knowing that Christ is not finished with us. Amen? This isn't it. It's not over. His work is taking place and shaping every believer as we speak. The same Savior who justifies sinners faithfully continues to sanctify each one of them until that day where his work is going to be perfect and complete. This is the one that we are called to give our whole heart to, that same Savior. And so we say this, when my trust is fully in the Lord, I give him my whole heart. But I wonder, has anything really become more valuable to you in your life than Christ himself? Has anything taken his place in your heart that rightfully belongs to him? Is there an idol that you need to let go of? Do you actively direct your thoughts to him? Are your affections led by him? Is it truly your heart's desire to honor him? Or is there still a part of your heart that you hold on to rather than surrendering it to the Lord? Give him your whole heart. Here's the second thing. When my trust is fully in the Lord, I depend on him through everything. I depend on him through everything, even when I don't understand. Man, those tags I keep adding at the end of those, they're not fun, right? But I depend on him through everything, even when I don't understand. And again, it's not fun to hear that because it's really tough. It's hard for us to depend when we don't understand what's happening. I mean, it's hard enough for us to depend on people that we see, that we know. That's hard enough already as it is. We know that people fail us, and we fail people too. We're not so dependable ourselves. And before we will even consider bringing ourselves to a place where we will depend on a person for a certain matter, that thing that matters to us, we usually want some guarantees. We want to know that whoever we are depending on is reliable at least to some kind of acceptable degree. You know, there's a line, this invisible line in our minds that say, okay, if this person is dependable but they're over here and they're not here, then I have a problem with that. But here's the great thing, and this isn't just me making a statement to make a statement, but this is a true thing, because with God, it's never a question. He is reliable. He is dependable. He has never failed. He never has made a mistake, and he never will. He's trustworthy. And yet, we still don't always lean on him as we should, do we? We choose to lean on ourselves, to lean on our own strength, to lean on our own intellect, to lean on our own wealth or resources. And we do this thing with God so often that when we don't have all the information, when things get really, really hard, when we're faced with something that we don't understand, that we're not able to control, we place God in the same basket as everyone else and say, well, I have reason to struggle in trusting him. We excuse it. We feel like we're justified to struggle in trusting God, but we are not. Because even when we don't understand or know what God is doing, we have no excuse. We should trust him. You know, we sing this often. Maybe it's been a while, and so if you like this song, we can, talk to Derek, and he'll add it back to the list. But we sing this. It says, I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. Think about that. I don't know what you're doing, God, but I know what you've done. I'm fighting a battle that you've already won. You know, those are helpful lyrics for us to remind ourselves of. That's literally where we find ourselves every single day of our lives, isn't it? We're so ignorant. We lack an understanding like you wouldn't believe. And so singing this reminds us we don't need to fear anything. We don't need to fear our circumstances. We can trust God. You know, God doesn't call us to understand as much as he calls us to trust him and to know him. That's what he calls us to know him. And that's what we're saying. I know what you've done is I know you, God. I know who you are. I know what you've accomplished through your son, Jesus. I don't understand what's happening in my life right now. I don't know why you're allowing these things to take place, but I know you. And so I trust you. The problem is we actually convince ourselves, believing this lie that, well, I think I might know better in this situation. I think I'm okay to face this on my own. I think I'm more capable of maneuvering through this on my own rather than depending on God fully. And so we lean on our own limited understanding rather than on the one who knows all things. And I'm telling you, just saying this out loud, it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But it's exactly what we do. You know, sometimes I wonder if it's more difficult for us to trust God than it was for other past generations. It seems like our problems are always harder, right? But sometimes I do wonder, we live in what's known as the information age. Some call it the misinformation age, but that's fine. But we live in this age where we want to know everything. You know, what did we do before Google? What did we do before Amazon? What did we do before all of those things? I remember being on this, you know, old Microsoft Windows 98, and I'd put a CD in, and then there was this encyclopedia that would pop up, and I would try to learn information that way. I thought it was fascinating. We don't need to do that anymore. We actually believe that we have the right to know everything. But there was a time where if you didn't know something, you just kept on not knowing. And we were okay with that. But now we want to know how everything works just for the sake of knowing it. Sometimes we want to know how some things work because we want to save some money and not have to call the repairman, right? We want to try to figure it out ourselves, and sometimes that causes more trouble than anything. But everybody's got a YouTube channel explaining whatever it is that you want to know. And there's a problem with that because it brings us to a point where we don't feel like we have to rely on anyone for anything, and not even God. I can figure this out. I can get through this. I can do this on my own. As a human race, we used to have to rely so much more on one another for survival, but now we've become very self-dependent. Self-sufficient, but our sufficiency should be in God. Now we lean on our own ability to provide our needs. We lean on our own intelligence to figure things out. We lean on our own strength to make it through, to overcome challenges, to fix issues, rather than leaning on the Lord and trusting in him, depending on him. And we actually cause this for ourselves. We avoid any sort of circumstances that would require for us to depend on him. Where in your life are you leaning on yourself rather than on God? You know, what is it that you need today? What is it that you came for today? You came to meet with God, to encounter with him and say, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need this. You know, if you need wisdom today, because we all want wisdom, we all want understanding. Well, God says this in James 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, And notice this, and it will be given him. If you need some wisdom today, then go to the Lord and ask him. But it could be anything else. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Whatever it is that you need, you can turn to the Lord. And let God be God and depend on him. Here's the third thing we're seeing. When my trust is fully in the Lord, I acknowledge him in every part of my life, even when I don't see him. I acknowledge him in every part of my life, even when I don't see him. I don't want you to forget the following statement. It's four words. It's this: God is in it. God is in it. And for some of you, you came simply to hear those four words and be reminded of this. God is in it. Now you might ask, well, he's in what specifically? And I would tell you this, it doesn't matter. Name something, anything at all. God is in it. He's in all things. We don't often see it that way, do we? Colossians 1 tells us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, and that all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things hold together. That's not enough for you. Hebrews 1 says this and affirms this truth. It says that he upholds the universe by the word of his power. The entire universe. And we haven't even seen the half of it. God upholds it all by the word of his power. And so this is for us to be mindful of this. Whether we see him or not, we can trust him because God is working. We may not discern him visibly, but we see the result of his work every single day. We see the result of his power simply by the fact that the universe itself exists and continues to exist. That is evidence that God is there and that God is working. He not only sustains all things, but he works, Scripture says, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, through the blood of Jesus Christ. When we realize that God is working to this length and that he is in all things and holds them all together, it helps us to see his power. It helps us to see his presence in and through every part of our lives. And we need these moments to pause and to consider how God is present in our lives. To acknowledge him through every part of our lives. That's what Proverbs 3 is calling us to do here. To acknowledge him in all our ways, in the past, in the present, and in the future. As I walk with you, Lord, I will see you there. And it means a few things for us. There's four things that it means. When I acknowledge the Lord in all my ways, first of all, I seek him. When I know that God is there, when I see him at work, I desire him more and I seek him. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In 1 Chronicles 16:11, David wrote a song of thanks and he said this, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually. Why? Because we know that in the Lord there is life. And only in him we need him. Here's the second thing. When I acknowledge the Lord in all my ways, I see him. Psalm 66, verse 5 says, come and see what God has done. That's the looking back, seeing what God has done. And we certainly can all do that in so many different ways. I'm sure we could go around the room and every single one of you would be able to come up with different reasons and different ways and how you've seen God at work. And Psalm 66 invites us to do that, to see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. And so whether it's in the big things, whether it's in the small things, whether it's in the things that are a big deal to us or that maybe seem so insignificant, we can see God. He does incredible things. Don't miss what he's done at the cross, of course. You see his greatness and his goodness in that. Don't miss what he's done in your past, how he's brought you to a place of knowing him. And don't miss what he's currently doing now. Here's the third thing. I submit to him. When I acknowledge the Lord in all my ways, I submit to him. I see God and I see his greatness. I'm like, wow, I follow you then. I'm yours then. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. When you see God's mighty hand, you humble yourself under it. He is the greatest and only authority of our lives. And so we ought to recognize him in the place that he holds in our lives through our obedience to him. Here's the fourth thing, I serve him. When I acknowledge the Lord in all my ways, I seek him, I see him, I submit to him, and I serve him. We're challenged with this in Joshua 24, choose you this day who you will serve. Who is it that you serve today? Knowing and seeing who God is. And how do you serve him? Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, so, okay, I'm going to serve God in this part of my life, in this area of my life. No, acknowledge him in every part of your life. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord. Here's the fourth point, and we'll be done this afternoon. My trust is fully in the Lord. I follow him wherever he leads me, even when the road is difficult. I follow him wherever he leads me, even when the road is difficult. You know, this life is pretty difficult, isn't it? We've got young people in this room, and if they haven't figured this out yet, they're going to. That's just a reality of life. It's hard, it's chaotic, it's perplexing, it's painful, it's frustrating. It sometimes seems impossible. So it's intriguing, it's really compelling when we see God here in Proverbs 3 saying that he will make the paths straight of those who trust him. It shows us why we need him and why we should absolutely trust in him alone. Because as we've said, his way leads to life, our ways lead to death. And nothing else. When we trust in him, we don't only gain future blessings in eternity that we can look forward to, but can I tell you this? God is the God of now also. And when we trust in him, he is our God now in this life. And his word tells us that he cares for us as we follow him in so many ways. He watches over us, he leads us, he lightens our darkness so that we can see and we can step forward. He secures our way, he teaches us the way of wisdom so that when we walk, our step will not be hampered, and if we run, we will not stumble. He makes our paths straight. And all he calls us to is that we would come to him, that we would trust in him alone, and follow him. And that shows to us just how gracious our God is. So ask yourself these questions personally. Do you follow Jesus? Do you know him? Have you trusted in Jesus? Are you following his leading in your life? Are you trusting the Lord fully today in every aspect? And the answer, of course, is going to be no. And so what is it that we need to commit to him today? Give him your whole heart. Depend on him through everything. Acknowledge him in every part of your life. Follow him wherever he leads. He's the only credible source for comfort, for strength, for understanding, for hope, for forgiveness, for life, and so much more. Let's give him our whole hearts and trust in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you are God that we can turn to and trust in today. Lord, there is nothing else on this earth, there's nothing else in this world that we can trust 100%. Everyone and everything will fail us one way or another. But you never will, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you are trustworthy. We thank you, Lord, that you are God. I pray, Lord, that you help us. There's folks in this room. There's folks downstairs. There's folks outside in this community that need this reminder today that they would trust in you alone. I pray, Lord, that you help us. Help us be a church, Lord, that will give its heart completely and fully to you.